WQAM. Greg Likens with you, taking the show up until 10 o'clock tonight and reading your text messages in the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. Matt Wilson on the other side. Now, I thought you were just nicknamed Biff, but all of a sudden it's the Biff. You're trying to differentiate yourself here, Matt? What's going on? I got to get to the bottom of this before we really get started.
So I talked to my marketing team, and, you know, it kind of made a better sense, you know, to call it the Biff because, you know, I'm the number one Biff here. I'm the only Biff. Nobody else.
Right. I don't think you've got much competition for that.
Well, you never know. They could hire somebody named Biff, so everybody has to know I'm the Biff.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we got that cleared up. So, yeah, Matt is with me, and we'll be with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We've got a lot to get into. Got some great guests coming up on tonight's show. Barry Jackson will be on from the Miami Herald in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald will join the program in the 8 o'clock hour. In the meantime, as I mentioned, we'll get to some of your text messages. And also, we're going to do our best to try to help you win some money because it's time for your chance to win $1,000. It's WQAM's $1,000 slap shot. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word YOUNG to 72881 and you're registered. Text YOUNG, YOUNG, to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning at 7 with Joe and Zach. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. And that's presented by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. As that's appropriate because there's a different word every hour, as many of you know if you listen to the station. We were just talking about Matt's nickname, The Biff, and a lot of people first heard me as Young Greg here on this very radio station because of Joe Rose and the morning show many, many years ago. So I don't get called Young Greg that much anymore, but
hey, Greg, you're still pretty young. Let's be real.
Hey, well,
to Joe Rose.
Compared to Joe Rose, I will always be young, yes. So I guess that will stick with me. But Young, YOUNG, to 72881, you have a chance to win $1,000. Again, presented by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. All right, so coming up on the show, I do want to get to what the Miami Dolphins' approach is going to be this offseason. I've got some strong opinions on what we're hearing about that. Also, we'll get into the Miami Hurricanes situation, not just with the transfer portal and players that they have either returning or coming to campus down at Coral Gables, but also it appears they've finalized their coaching staff as well, according to some reports. But let's start here, because Barry Jackson, who's going to join us next segment, is in Detroit covering the Miami Heat on this current road trip. And so, of course, it was a less than memorable game on Tuesday night. The Heat were embarrassed by the Bucks, 124-86. So that was about as lopsided as you're going to get in an NBA game. And certainly that was troubling. And then it didn't get any better after the game because following the contest, Dion Waiters decided that he was going to go off on an expletive-laden, I guess, response, you could say, to some questions about his playing time. He said, bleep patience. I want to play. I've been patient long enough. What do I got to be patient for? Come on, man. I've been patient. I think everybody knows that. It's time. What are we waiting for? If I'm out there, play me. He then went on to say, the next step is being back in the starting lineup. Bleep like that. Patience has run out. I'm tired of this. Get back to my regular self. End quote. He was also asked if he'd say something to Eric Spoelstra about it. He said, quote, I ain't say nothing to nobody. So that happened Tuesday night. The Heat didn't practice yesterday. I think they were traveling. So today they did have a practice and media availability. And inevitably, I think we all assumed this was going to occur, Eric Spoelstra announced that Dion Waiters had been fined for that venting session that he had about his lack of playing time. And so Spoelstra made clear that Waiters' call to be reinserted in the starting lineup will not have any effect on the coach's decisions. He said, quote, obviously, it's not acceptable behavior, particularly coming off the type of disappointing loss we had the other night. And so Spoelstra then said that the Heat are declining to specify the amount of the fine, which was assessed for, quote, conduct detrimental to the team, end quote. Apparently, Waiters told reporters, including Barry Jackson, that he's glad he said something, but that he should have gone about it differently. He said he wants to remain with the Heat, quote, absolutely. And he said after a Heat practice earlier today in Detroit that I feel like we started something. Why not finish it? But I understand it's a business also. Now, it's worth pointing out that the Heat have kind of dangled his name out there in trade possibilities, especially this past offseason. There were no takers for the contract in which he signed last year, which was for 4 years and $52 million $52 million. It runs for two more seasons after this one. But he was asked if he could deal with this amount of playing time if it continues for the remainder of the season. And for those who are unaware, he has been available for seven games since he returned after a year's absence because of the ankle injury and surgery, didn't play in two games, and played 10, 24, 29, and 12 minutes in the other five, including 23 combined over the last two games. So with that being said, he responded to the question of whether he could deal with this amount of playing time moving forward. He said, quote, "I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you that. I can't predict the future. All I can do is continue to try to stay in shape and work on my game and have a clear mind and not try to think about negative stuff," end quote. All right. So apparently a bunch of the players talked to him. There was a team meeting about it. So they've cleared the air. They should be able to move on from this. But I talked about this pretty late last night when I was on in the 9 o'clock hour, but this is my take on this situation. Normally, I would be firmly on Eric Spoelstra's side when it comes to Dion Waiters. And quite frankly, I am on the Heat side that they fined him. I think Dion Waiters said all this knowing he was going to get fined because Hassan Whiteside did a similar thing in terms of going to the media to voice his complaints with some expletives in there last season about not playing in the fourth quarter, and he was fined. That's the appropriate thing to do, is to fine him. But really, when Spoelstra says that Dion Waiters needs to be patient and after a year away from the game because of the ankle injury and the surgery, that he needs to be brought back slowly, I think typically this makes a lot of sense. Don't need to rush the guy back when he's been out so long and have that big picture view in mind where you want to make sure that Dion Waiters is with you for the long haul rather than bring him back too soon and re-aggravate an injury. But I don't think that's the case for this Miami Heat team and this Miami Heat season, because you've got inconsistency from them, from the players, from the team as a whole that they've displayed throughout this campaign so far. Plus, they don't have any top-end talent on the roster. We've all acknowledged that, right? They've got a lot of good to very good players, but they don't have any superstars on this team. They do have a guy in Goran Dragic who's hurt right now, who made an all-star team last year. And Hassan Whiteside, I think when they gave him that huge $98 million contract, they had visions of him being an all-star, but it hasn't panned out that way. The bottom line is they don't have the top-end talent that some of the other teams in the league have. And they've got 11 to 12 guys that are just good to very good, all kind of cramming the issue for Eric Spoelstra in terms of the difficulty determining how he's going to figure out his roster and his rotation. I don't understand, with all that being said, why not put Waiters in the game and see if he can be a difference maker for this squad? Because they paid him $52 million over 4 years for a reason. He should be playing, and Eric Spoelstra should be playing him more, and I think Waiters has every right to be upset. Now, should he go about it a different way? Yes, even he acknowledged that. But to me, he needs to be playing more, and Eric Spoelstra is wrong for not utilizing him and putting him in the starting lineup. Because I would ask you this, anybody out there, depending on what side you're on, if you are Eric Spoelstra, put yourself in his shoes, what is your ideal rotation, or quite frankly, what's your ideal starting lineup with the players that are currently healthy? And you can send in your opinions on this in the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. But to me, I think it's always irresponsible to just come out and say, hey, you got to do something different, and don't offer some sort of explanation or resolution to how you can fix the problem. But let's take this a little further, because this is what I would say to Coach Spo. Look at who you're playing ahead of Dion Waiters right now. First off, let's go to the starting lineup. Rodney Magruder and James Johnson, two guys have struggled mightily on the offensive end of the floor. James Johnson did not attempt a shot in 21 scoreless minutes against the Bucks on Tuesday night. He's topped 11 points only four times in 26 games, 5 points or fewer in three of his last four, and has become an offensive non-factor for this Miami Heat team. And I know he's well-respected in the locker room. He's a guy who's a great athlete with a versatile skill set, but he is who he's been and has proven that now in a Miami Heat uniform that he's been throughout the entirety of his career. He's a guy that doesn't always apply himself. I think there's a reason why he's bounced around the league and had one really strong half of a season, parlayed that into a four-year, $60 million contract. So I know he doesn't play the same position as Waiters, so let's move on to Magruder. And I like Rodney Magruder. Actually, I like most of the guys in this team. It's nothing personal. It's just about results. It's a bottom-line business. Who's producing? Magruder had 4 points on 2-for-8 shooting the other night. He's now 8-for-29 over his last 5 games. Point totals in those games, 5-3, 5-3, and 4. So I don't know why he is starting ahead of a Deion Waiters, who's got much more potential. So Josh Richardson, he has struggled as well. And I know that he's kind of been the golden boy, the key asset that should excite us regarding the future. You don't want to give him up in a potential trade for a Jimmy Butler, right? We've heard all that. But he hasn't been all that great either, because he entered at 40.8% shooting from the field this season, according to Barry Jackson, the Miami Herald. That ranked 24th among 26 shooting guards after Tuesday night's games, and has been dealing with some knee tendonitis, hasn't been all that effective or efficient from the floor. If I were them, I move Josh Richardson to small forward, take Magruder out of the lineup, and Deion Waiters is my starter. And you know what? I want to take everybody back to that 30-11 finish to the 2016-17 season, when everybody was on board with that 7-11 Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters backcourt pairing, in which they were ultra efficient. Both guys can probe a defense. Both can facilitate for others. Both can get shots anywhere they want to on the floor. And the entire team flourished and blossomed with the two of them leading the charge. Goran Dragic gets the benefit of the doubt when he returns from injury. He'll be inserted back in the starting lineup. Why not Deion Waiters? Because I know Magruder brings some intangibles that Eric Spoelstra likes, but what about the tangible? Deion Waiters can do a lot of things. And he can show you. It's not about intangibles all the time. And oh, the defense is a big deal for Rodney Magruder. But bottom line is this. The loyalty shown towards Magruder, some of these other players, you need, if you're Eric Spoelstra, to stop being stubborn about it and just look at who gives you the best chance to win. Who gives you the best chance to kind of break out of this funk, this middling, middle-of-the-road 21-21 team that they've been. And there's one guy to me right now that hasn't been part of the equation, that is coming back into the fold, that at least provides some hope. There's no guarantees, but he provides some hope. So Eric Spoelstra, I implore you, put Deion Waiters not just into the game for more minutes, but put him into the game as a starter. Because barring a trade, barring some sort of roster reconstruction, Deion Waiters is your one hope in order to do that. And I think that's what needs to happen. And I'm not saying Waiters went about it the right way. He got fined, got the slap on the wrist. But I think that should be a wake-up call to Eric Spoelstra. And I hope he isn't stubborn about this and says, no. Just because he went off like that, now I'm going to keep him on the bench just to prove a point. Come on, man. Let's excite the Heat fan base down here and give yourself the best chance to win. We're going to excite our radio audience next, because Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald will join the program. He is with the Heat right now. He was next to Deion Waiters when he went off, so we'll get the latest from him on that. The Hurricanes, the Dolphins as well. Also, we'll get back to your text messages a little bit later on in the 6 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. A lot more to get to with Barry Jackson coming up next. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Gotta keep them separated.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday night. So much going on in the world of South Florida sports. And for more on everything going on, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Welcoming Barry Jackson. Covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. You can read his Florida Sports Buzz column in the Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz. Barry, appreciate your time this evening. You're in Detroit with the Miami Heat. How's everything going up there in the cold weather?
Hi, Greg. Good to be with you. We're actually in suburban Detroit, an hour outside the city. The Heat practicing at a high school in Birmingham, Michigan today with kids running by and snow outside. And a very interesting day, because we sort of saw this coming the other night. When Deion Waiters went off and complained about playing time, the first thought that came to my mind, Greg, was Hassan Whiteside was fined for this just in March. For complaining about playing time. So he sort of envisioned a fine was likely, and we got that today.
We did. And so before we talk about everything that happened today, take us back to Tuesday night, because you were there in Milwaukee. One, it was a terrible game, 124-86, a Heat loss. But then when Deion Waiters went on his expletive-laden complaint about playing time, what was the scene like in the locker room?
Well, I had approached him and I asked him about continuing to be patient. I wasn't expecting that sort of response, nor was I even looking for it. I said, is this all still part of the process where you just have to be patient, for another week, two, maybe three, until you get more playing time? And his immediate response was, bleep patience. I want to play. I've been patient long enough. What do I got to be patient for? Come on, man. I've been patient. I think everybody knows that. It's time. What are we waiting for? The next step is being back in the starting lineup. So after he made those comments, the Heat was quickly made aware of them. And yesterday, even though the team did not practice, Spoelstra and the players had a meeting. Spoelstra spoke with Waiters and said, look, these comments are not acceptable. You're being fined. There was also a team meeting in which several players spoke during the meeting. I don't believe it was combative. I believe it was done constructively. Haslam told me today that he was one of the players who spoke up in the meeting, and he said, we understand Deion's comments were not the right thing to do or coming from a good place. And I asked Haslam what he told Waiters in the meeting yesterday. And he said, my conversation with Deion was, we want that chip on your shoulder. We want that fire. We want that competitive spirit. We just want it channeled in the right direction. And Waiters and Wade spoke for an hour as well. So that brought us to today. And today it was odd, Greg. Normally, our sessions with Spoelstra begin with us asking questions, but today Spoelstra said, I just want to discuss Deion, and went on for a good 2 minutes and was pretty candid. The first thing he said was, this is not acceptable behavior from Deion, especially coming off the type of loss we had the other night. And then he made the point that Waiters is basically coming back to a different team from the one that he left, because when he was first injured with his ankle injury, back in December of 2017, the Heat did not have this level of depth on the roster. So Spoelstra made the point, look, this is going to be difficult for Deion. I have empathy for everything he's gone through, but it's about winning. It's not about him. I expect him to get in great shape and compete for minutes like everybody else. And then Spoelstra gave us what the zinger was, Greg. He said, ranting in the media is not going to move the needle with me at all. I just don't think it's healthy for our team. It ends up being a distraction. It won't be on his terms. It will be on the team's terms. And these concepts of patience and surrendering to the team, whether he wants to put expletives in front of it or behind it, those are going to be very important concepts for him to embrace. So
wow.
It was about as candid as we can ever expect from Spo. And Waiters said the right things today, but what I found interesting about his response was he didn't seem to regret making the comments. He just regretted how he phrased the comments. He said, sometimes you just have to say things and get them off your chest to feel better. So he still feels what he said the other night, but he said he made a mistake in terms of saying it so forcefully and with the expletives. And then I asked him, can you deal with this if it's like this all season? If your minutes remain in this range of 8 to 15 a game, and you're not a starter again this season, can you deal with it? And his answer was, I don't know.
Well, I guess both Spo and Deion Waiters very candid today, to say the least. Barry Jackson joining me here from the Miami Herald is was in Milwaukee, now in the Detroit area, covering the Miami Heat. They get ready to take on the Pistons tomorrow. I've argued, Barry, that while I don't like the way he went about it, I actually agree with Deion Waiters. I don't know what Spo is waiting for to get him some more regular minutes, because I think he provides an element to this team that, even though they have got depth, that a lot of the other players don't provide. So from a wins and losses standpoint, I think he can help them. Now, if he's not healthy, then I can understand them bringing him back slowly, but Waiters seems to indicate he's ready to go. I don't think he did it the right way, but is there going to be an opportunity for Deion Waiters, despite this, for Eric Spoelstra to get him more minutes, in your mind?
I don't think Spoelstra can make a comment today saying that these comments are not going to get him anywhere with me in terms of more playing time, and then the next game play him 35 minutes. I just don't see Spoelstra doing that, because it shows to the team that he will cave if a player comes out and criticizes him. I think in time, which might be a week, perhaps a little bit longer, we'll probably see him get back to closer to 20 to 25 minutes. But I'm no longer convinced that he's going to be a starter on this team. I think the expectation was eventually he would be a starter again. But with the way he's being used in his first seven games back, which has been not at all in two games and limited minutes in five others, I get the sense that they don't view him as the savior as fans do. Because if they viewed him as a player who could take this team to a next level, I think he'd be playing a lot more. My view is they view Waiters as just one of 11 or 12 similarly talented players and no better than Tyler Johnson, not substantially better than Magruder, even though his talent would suggest he would be. So I'm not sure we're going to see anytime soon Waiters cast in the starting shooting guard savior role. And I think it was indicative of what they think of him to an extent when they tried very actively to trade him last summer. Two general managers told me at the Las Vegas Summer League that the Heat was very aggressive trying to move Waiters last summer, but there was just no interest in him.
Yeah, really interesting and telling, as you're mentioning there. Hey, Barry, you also wrote about the latest with Wayne Ellington. It sounds like, you know, he wants playing time as well. He's one of these guys that is in the mix but hasn't been playing at all unless it's in garbage time minutes. Is he likely to be traded from what you're hearing?
Well, I think they're going to at least make the attempt to try to accommodate him, because as long as this team is healthy, he's not going to play here. The problem is you have very few teams that can absorb his contract without sending money back to Miami. One would be the Kings, and I guess it's conceivable with them being in playoff contention, perhaps they'd have interest in a shooter. Denver and Detroit would be interesting options because they have exceptions, trade exceptions, which would allow them to absorb Ellington's $6.2 million salary without trading any money back to Miami. Now, of course, the 27 other teams, the Heat could trade Ellington too, but they'd have to take money back. So what you could see is perhaps Ellington being traded for a player who is worse than Ellington, and as enticement for Miami, you know, the Heat possibly could get a second-round pick as well. However, that would accomplish nothing in terms of reducing the Heat's luxury tax bill, which stands at $9.7 million. And I think the team would like to reduce that by the end of the season when the bill is set. So I think possibly could be traded, but I'd say far from guaranteed.
Barry Jackson covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. Since you're traveling with the Heat, and I don't know what there is to do in suburban Detroit, as you said, you're about an hour outside the city, any plans to hang out with Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union to celebrate the 37th birthday?
You know, it's funny. Wade reminded us today, I wish him a happy birthday, and he said what's strange is he thought back to that old yearbook post, which anyone can find on a Google search if they do it right now, but Wade actually predicted in his yearbook 20 years ago that at the age of, 20 years from now, which would be the age of 37 or 38, he would be a famous basketball player, and he would be ready to retire with his family. So that's what he wrote in his high school yearbook in Oak Lawn outside Chicago. He said, I see myself retiring to spend time with my wife and kids and being one of the greatest to play the game. So that certainly proved true.
It certainly has. My goodness. And yes, a very happy birthday to a South Florida sports legend. Hey, I want to transition to the Miami Hurricanes, Barry. I mean, it has been incredible that in under 3 weeks, Manny Diaz has completely shifted the narrative surrounding the football program. What have you made of what he's accomplished so far in such a short period of time?
Yes, it has been. And he's become king of the transfer portal, right?
Yes, I mean,
it's incredible what he's accomplished with players from other programs, beginning with Tommy Kennedy, the left tackle from Butler, who was highly recruited. Texas and Oklahoma wanted him. You can plug him in as your starting left tackle. KJ Osborne, the receiver from Buffalo, could become the best receiver on this team, along with Jeff Thomas, who was obviously reinstated this week. They, of course, added the plum of this group, Tate Martell, the number 39 overall prospect in the 2017 recruiting class, transferring from Ohio State. He could be the quarterback of the future if he beats out Jaren Williams and Nikosi Perry, and the odds would probably be in his favor. So Miami has just gotten tremendous help from what has become the college equivalent of NFL free agency, being able to go out, acquire players for a year. Now, Martell, of course, is not a grad transfer, unlike Osborne and Tommy Kennedy. Martell will have 3 years of eligibility remaining, and he's trying to become eligible next season. but that will hinge on one of a couple of things. He can either get an NCAA ruling, which he hopes will be in his favor to make him eligible, or he can potentially graduate from Ohio State in May, which he's trying to do, which would mean that he could come to UM as a transfer, a grad transfer, and would still have 3 years of eligibility left, but would be able to play in 2019. So at this point, unclear if he'll be able to play this season or wait till 2020.
It's unclear, but it is exciting that whenever he plays, you feel like you've got a lot of potential there, as you mentioned, as far as his ranking come out of high school. And, you know, I don't think there's any shame in sitting behind JT Barrett and Dwayne Haskins the last couple of years at Ohio State. That makes sense. Those are two very talented players. I would ask you this, though, Barry, because I know you've written about the reactions of the families of Nikosi Perry and Jaren Williams. Is it your belief that Manny Diaz, this will truly be an open competition for all those guys? Or do you think Tate Martell, just based on his track record and knowing how he's been touted, that he probably has the inside track of the starting job whenever he's eligible?
I would think he'd have the inside track, not because of favoritism, but just because of natural ability. I mean, there's a reason why he's UM's best recruit as far as most ballyhooed high school players since Kyle Wright. And obviously they're getting him 2 years removed from high school. But this is the first top 50 quarterback UM has landed since Kyle Wright was ranked in the top 10 by Rivals back in 2003. He just has a very intriguing skill set, able to run the read option effectively, able to get out of the pocket. His arm is good. It's not extraordinary, but it's really good. And he's just been extremely accurate in the limited body of work at Ohio State. He was 23 for 28 through the air this year, and at Bishop Gorman High in Las Vegas, which is a big-time program, and he was outstanding there, throwing over 100 touchdowns, only 9 interceptions, and going 43-0 as a starter.
Barry Jackson covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. Hey, Barry, based on his social media savvy, I feel like Manny Diaz has quickly become the Power Five's version of Lane Kiffin. It's like he's grasped onto this Twitter thing, and suddenly it's like a must follow where everybody's just waiting for him to hit enter either on his phone or his keyboard, whatever the next big news is going to be. I think he's done an incredible job of regaining some excitement around the program through his social media accounts.
Yes, and he's driving the beat writers crazy because every time one of them sees one of the tweets and they wonder, oh my gosh, what's the next shoe to drop? And then it's a guessing game and a race to try to confirm what indeed he's trying to convey. But one of the more interesting ones was a Michael Jackson tweet of holding up four fingers, which happened to be the jersey number of Jeff Thomas on the night that Thomas announced that he's been reinstated. So he gets an A for creativity. Heck, if his head coaching work is anywhere nearly as terrific as his work on Twitter, then I foresee a lot of 11-1 seasons.
All right. I like the sound of that. Hey, Barry, finally, I want to ask you about the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we're in kind of this holding pattern with Brian Flores and the New England Patriots still in the playoffs. Now, I don't disagree with this notion of taking a different approach. I just don't like the fact that the Dolphins, via Stephen Ross in his press conference and the report that Adam Schefter had earlier this week, that they essentially have announced that they're tanking. I mean, that's the interpretation that everybody has. So I'm okay with rebuilding. I'm okay with even losing short term to benefit yourself long term, but I don't like the idea of essentially broadcasting that to everyone. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And it's not as though the Dolphins have used the word tanking or said it in so many words, but I find this telling. In the past, if a reporter has basically conveyed a narrative which the organization believes is wrong, they have revealed that to that reporter in terms of saying, you know, look, you're going the wrong direction. This is not accurate. That's not been the case with the stories about tanking. They are not disputing this at all. And in fact, we'll keep going back to that Ross comment when asked about why he fired Adam Gase. He said Adam wants to win. So that should speak volumes. I know you and I have both laughed about that too over the last couple of weeks. But to me, that speaks volumes about what the thinking is, which is field a team that's just not very good, young, developmental, try to at least move a couple of prospects along this year. If you can augment your offense and defensive lines in the draft, start developing those kids, and then ideally find your quarterback in 2020. The question will be, if Kyler Murray is there at 13, does Chris Greer fall in love with him over the next 3 months and pull the trigger instead of waiting with the hope that you would get either Tua from Alabama or Justin Herbert in the 2020 draft. That will be the biggest decision he faces if Kyler Murray is there at 13 and if he impresses during the offseason work. You know, he's obviously going to have to work out for teams if he expects to be a high draft pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be really intriguing because even though that narrative right now is that they're going to kind of build the roster in 2019 in anticipation of getting a quarterback, if that quarterback, like you're saying, and Kyler Murray becomes available prior to then perhaps, you know, that original plan, you scrap that and go with what you have available to you. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. Hey, Barry, appreciate the time. We're going to be on our sister station, 7-9 of the Ticket, on Sunday from 11 to 3. So look forward to working with you, as always, there. Safe travels and enjoy the rest of this trip with the Miami Heat.
Thanks, Greg. I'll see you Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. There he is, Barry Jackson. Follow him on Twitter, at FLA Sports Buzz, and read his work, the Florida Sports Buzz column in the Miami Herald. Nobody more thorough than Barry Jackson when it comes to covering the South Florida sports scene. Good to catch up with him. And, I wonder what Dwayne Wade is going to do for his birthday in suburban Detroit, right? I mean, I can't imagine Dwayne Wade, 37 years old. I know it's not like in his younger days where he'd feel like he'd have to necessarily have a party and stuff. But my guess is the birthday party probably waits until he goes to Chicago because they play there on Saturday and he can get with the family and Gabrielle Union and everything. I don't think that anybody's really doing anything big for Dwayne Wade's birthday an hour outside of Detroit. I just can't imagine there's a lot going on. I've been to Detroit. I've been to suburban Detroit because my buddy's from there. He had his wedding there, and it's a very nice area, but it doesn't seem like a place where NBA superstars would have a whole lot of fun.
Well, I hear the Applebee's is popping during happy hour at this
time. Right? Like, can you imagine Dwayne Wade walking in there? Right? Like, hey, we got the 2-for-1 appetizer special or something, like, you know.
I think they actually have, like, the unlimited chicken tenders back, so you never know.
I see
you
those advertisements.
Go. I mean, that sounds awesome.
The Biff. You're into that, huh?
Unlimited food, always.
Okay, yeah, I don't think anybody can really dispute that. Big thanks to Barry. When we come back, we're getting a lot of text messages, so I want to go back and read some of these. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022, primarily about Dion Waiters and the Miami Heat. We'll get to that next here on QAM.
Radio.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens with you, taking the show until 10 o'clock. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass. Appreciate Barry Jackson for taking the time to join the program last segment, and really interesting insight that he provided from Heat practice today about this Dion Waiters, Eric Spoelstra dynamic. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll get to your text messages in a moment. Do want to let you know that coming up a little bit later on in the program, around 8:20, Adam Beasley will join the show. So we'll get his thoughts on what's going on with the Miami Dolphins and the NFL a little bit later. Also coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about this quote-unquote plan that the Dolphins have for the offseason and for the future. So we'll get into that. But let's talk about this Heat dynamic, because really telling, Eric Spoelstra, based on his comments, I mean, he's not going to give any big minutes to Dion Waiters soon. I'd say in the next couple of games. Now, over time, I think that's what should happen. If you heard me in the first segment of this program, I think Dion Waiters brings an element to the game that really only Goran Dragic brings. He's the only other player on this roster that does. You know, Dwayne Wade used to, in terms of the ability to be an explosive player and to facilitate for others and find your spots on the floor and probe a defense. Of course, you know, Wade now turning 37 today. He can do it still bits and pieces here and there, but I think Dion Waiters is a guy that brings just a different dynamic to this lineup. And whether Eric Spoelstra agrees with that or not, I think that's the case. And I think he needs to put his ego aside here for a second. I get it. You can't reward Dion Waiters immediately following this blow up and they find him and everything. But over the next few games, okay, have him sit for a little bit, but eventually get him in the lineup, because that's the best thing for this team. Now let's read some of these texts. The Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. I want to go rapid fire here. We got a lot of them. Somebody right off the top says, hey, Biff, you should go back to being Philip Seymour Hoffman. Well, you're riding with the Biff, so you decided. I mean, it'd be weird if everybody called you Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's a mouthful. Like, the Biff. That's quick. It's to the point.
Back in my heyday, though, I was Philip Seymour Hoffman. That was a long time ago, though.
Well, somebody apparently likes your heyday. That's what they're saying here. Another texter here says, Spo must unleash Waiters and play him major minutes. I agree. Another says, Waiters has had 1 year off. He should be getting many minutes of the minutes going to Magruder and Johnson. I agree. Somebody else says, maybe Coach Spo knows that Waiters is out of shape. Let's be real. Conditioning is a big part of the Heat culture. Yeah, I don't know. He's played the most minutes he's played is 25 so far. He looked okay. I will say this, that if there are some extenuating circumstances behind the scenes as far as whether he's in good enough shape or not, whether they feel like, you know, he's had some after effects injury-wise, then perhaps that's part of the equation. But we haven't heard anything about it. And I know that we don't always hear about everything, but what do you have to lose with Dion Waiters, right? I just get him out on the floor. Another texter says, Waiters has proven he can provide offense and close games with clutch shots. Spo needs to get him on the floor. I agree. Somebody says, this dude on 560 is just bringing the gospel. Who is this guy? He's incredible. And goes on to say, what's the name of the show? Well, thank you for the kind words. This is Greg Likens. And you can find me either here on QAM or on our sister station, 790 The Ticket. I go back and forth wherever they need me. Appreciate the kind words and for listening. And I'm sure once I say something you disagree with, then you'll probably hate me. But that's kind of the way this business works.
Oh, well, you'd be told like three times the amount that you said something wrong.
That's true.
Nobody likes a compliment.
No, so that's why it's rare. So I have to at least revel in it for a moment here. Another texter says, Spoelstra is an elite coach. I don't know why he can't see that Magruder shouldn't be starting over Waiters. Now, here we go. Some people who aren't happy with my stance says, you would be a great coach. Let a player publicly criticize you after being out for a year and a half and accomplishing nothing, and then make him a starter. You announce and let Spo and Riley run the team. Send Chunky back to Cleveland if they take him. Well, here's the deal. My point is not Dion Waiters should be rewarded for going off on his coach in an expletive-laden complaint that we've detailed. I have said all along that I think that's the wrong way to go about it. At the same time, if you just look at the nuts and bolts of this, look at the bottom line, he deserves to be upset. Eric Spoelstra should be playing Dion Waiters more. I mean, is everybody just okay with them being 21 and 21 and going back and forth to being, you know, maybe they're a game above 500, maybe they're a few games below 500, and that's just going to be the way it is? Because to me, then you're kind of settling. And I know that there's a limited ceiling to this roster as is, but I think that what ceiling there is, you can reach that with Dion Waiters having more of a larger role for this team. That's my point. Now, that's still not going to make them some sort of contender, so let's not get anything twisted here, but it will put them in a better, more advantageous position than where they are right now. Another texter says, $60 million of the salary cap, two Johnsons and Whiteside average under 30 points per game. They basically play six guards and three centers. James Johnson plays outside. Bam goes inside, but his little scoring ability other than dunks and putbacks, they are a 500 club at best for years to come. Another says Spo is overrated, arrogant like Gase, thinks he's smarter than everyone, hasn't done anything without LeBron. Okay, well, let's just not completely trash Eric Spoelstra, although I did draw the comparison between him and Adam Gase, if you listened to me last night, in terms of some of their stubborn ways with the rotation. But Spoelstra on the whole is a very good coach. He does tend to do this, though, with certain players where it just doesn't make any sense. Remember like during the Big Three era where Mike Miller like couldn't see the floor, then all of a sudden he played a lot in the playoffs? James Johnson was kind of the same way. Some of these rotational decisions are a bit peculiar. Another texter says, Wade is the greatest athlete in South Florida sports history, with Marino being a distant second. You can make that argument if you want. I don't think Marino's a distant second. I think Marino is probably right there neck and neck with Dwayne Wade, if you ask me. Difference is the championships, but you know that's a conversation for another day. Another texter says, heads up, Greg, per sources, Wayne Ellington's agent has met with the Heat to discuss his future with the team. Thank you for the heads up. And this is one of these situations where I hope for Wayne Ellington's sake they find a suitor and that it benefits both sides, because he deserves to be playing. He set an NBA record for most three-pointers for a reserve player last season, and he can't get on the floor right now. Frustrating all around. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will kick off the 7 o'clock hour. I cannot wait to get this off my chest. I've got a lot to say about what we've seen from the Miami Dolphins and this proposed off-season plan for the next couple of years. I'll tell you my take on that next here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com. Radio.
Radio.com.